Welcome back to the Bun Sports Show. Jacob Bun along with David Sears another week. One more week remaining in the college football regular season.
Two, because technically.
Well, that's true. Technically, you're right.
Is regular season two.
Put away your handkerchiefs and you can get them out in 2 weeks. This is the most fun time of the year coming to a close. Really quickly, wrapping up last week's contest, Alabama handled Georgia State 63-7. Florida had no problem with Appalachian State 48-10. South Carolina all over Troy 69-24. Arkansas in double overtime, and we'll discuss this in a few minutes. What a win they had over Mississippi State 38-31. Tennessee 24-10 over Vanderbilt, and LSU beat Ole Miss in another game for the ages, coached by Les Miles 43-36. This week is known around here as Iron Bowl week. Friday will be the big game, and to discuss things from an Auburn point of view, we're going to bring in one of the co-hosts of the opening drive, former Auburn and Super Bowl kicker Al Del Greco. Al, how are you? Appreciate you being on.
Jacob, good to talk to you.
Well, before we get to the big matchup coming up this week, some thoughts on Auburn to this point in the season, 11-0, ranked number 2 in the BCS.
Well, I think somewhat, maybe a little bit of a surprise. I think my prediction at the beginning of the year was probably, you know, a good year realistically was probably 9-3. Anything over that would have kind of been a little bit extra. But I think, quite honestly, nobody really knew the effect that Cam Newton would have on this football team. And I think not only having the best player in college football today, but what he's done as far as elevating the game of everybody else around him and the confidence level that he's brought to that team, has gotten them in a position where they're right now 11-0, getting ready to take on Alabama for the final game of the season. And, you know, it hasn't been easy, but they've found a way to win close games at times. And like I said, I think the confidence level is just so high right now that they kind of feel like, you know what, if we do what we're capable of doing, we pretty much can beat whoever we're playing.
Al, when you get ready for a big game like this, but you know you have potential to have two other big games down the road, do you look ahead to the next game, or do you try to focus? How hard is it to stay focused on the task at hand?
Well, I think you just have to, in this case, look at the opponent and say there's no way that it's difficult to focus for what Alabama brings to the table. You got the defending national champion. You got your in-state rival. There's so much kind of weighing on, you know, what the outcome of this game could determine that I don't think there's any way they overlook it. If anything, you know, the thought may be that this may be more of a difficult matchup than maybe South Carolina would be, just because of the defensive problems that they pose. But I don't think there's any way in the world that they're going to overlook Alabama, because, you know, not beating your in-state rival and still winning the national championship or the SEC championship, going to be a little bit on there that you didn't take care of all the business. So I think it's very, very important this week, especially to get another win and keep this thing going. Not to mention that, you know, you control your own destiny as far as the BCS championship by winning. So why put it in the hands of anybody else if all you've got to do is win football games? Don't overlook anybody. Just keep playing.
We're talking with Al Del Greco, current host of the opening drive, which can be heard on WJOX 94.5 each weekday in Birmingham. Al, one would have to be living under a shell not to know the reports, the allegations, the rumors that have been swirling about Cam Newton. Just give us your overall perspective on that. Do you think it's a shot, an attack on Auburn, or do you think there's something legitimate behind this?
Honestly, Jacob, I mean, I really don't know. I don't know if his dad solicited money. The people I talked to down at Auburn said, you know, I know we didn't give him anything. Now, what happened with his dad, I have no idea. But to me, you know, until there's some kind of concrete proof of what actually happened, you've got all these guys coming out saying there's tape, text messages and emails and all this other stuff, but nobody's produced any of them. So, you know, kind of like I've said on the show, and I think I've been pretty objective about it, I'm not saying it didn't happen. but until you show me proof that it did, I don't know how you can keep Cam out. I don't know how you cannot vote for him for the Heisman. And I don't know how you can hold Auburn responsible for something in this particular case unless they show me some kind of proof about it.
Changing the subject to something a little bit more positive, how would you rate the job Chizik has done so far at Auburn?
I think last year maybe a little better than people would have thought based on the talent that was coming back from the year before. And again, you know, it still may be a difficult question to answer just because nobody expected to have the best player in college football this year. So I'm sure that made his job a little bit easier. But you know what? You still need to manage things. You look at various decisions about, you know, going for it on fourth downs, what you need to do to keep the guys kind of focused and keep everybody on track. And I don't think it's way underestimated the job he did leading into the Georgia game of keeping everybody focused, keeping the goal in front of them in charge. Now, the beginning of that game, there was a little emotion that let Georgia get out to the big lead, and maybe at the end, a little overzealous play. But I think, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for what he's done with this football team, the way he's handled guys, and just the focus that they've been able to keep through all this, through all these allegations.
Finally, Al, the Iron Bowl this week, 75th edition of it. It is an unbelievable, if for those that have, who have never been a part of it in any way, it's an unbelievable atmosphere and all the tradition leading up into it. What's your key for the Auburn Tigers this week to come out successful?
Well, I think number one, and I say this most of the time because all the years that I played, the one stat that always seems to, especially when you're playing on the road, be the most important is turnovers. If you win the turnover ratio, like I said, especially being on the road, it enhances your chances to win greatly. Take care of the football. They've done a great job of that. The games that have been close, like Clemson, South Carolina earlier this year, they were negative in the turnover ratio. They gave the ball over. They gave short field to both of those teams. And, you know, let's face it, Alabama's got a very good offense. For them to have to earn everything that they get, as explosive as the Auburn offense is, I just don't think they can keep pace with them. So turnovers a big key, and then special teams, just be fundamentally sound. No block kicks, no big returns. As long as you don't give big momentum shifts like that, I just think Auburn's got too much this year, and I think they'll come away victorious. Now, if they turn it over three or four times and give Alabama a short field, hey, it's going to be very difficult to win. So I think more than anything, it has to do with Auburn, what Auburn does. Take care of business, hold on to the football, don't commit too many dumb penalties, and just play. You got the best player in college football. Let him be who he is.
Well, Al, we look forward to the game, and thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure. War Eagle.
Talk to you soon. Al Del Greco, the current host of the opening drive on WJOX 94.5 FM in Birmingham, giving us a little of the Auburn perspective as they head into this sensational matchup, as it always is, with Alabama. Alabama, of course, ranked number 11 in the BCS and coming in 9-2. Auburn ranked number 2, 11-0, behind only Oregon. Well, let's shift back before we get to a little bit of the Iron Bowl talk and talk about some of the games that happened this past weekend. Your thoughts on Alabama 63-7 over Georgia State? I mean, what can you say other than it was what we expected, right?
It was exactly what we expected. I think it's what Alabama needed. If you notice, the defense, the first string defense played well into the third quarter. I think that was Saban trying to get them to gel as a cohesive unit, get some more time playing together. I know that's the 11th game of the season, but they're still relatively young and inexperienced. C.J. Mosley has been moved to the Mike position where he is organizing the defense, much like Rolando McClain did last year. And this is a true freshman calling the plays for the defense. Shows great things down the line for them. Dante Hightower has gone back to the position he was last year, I believe is the Will linebacker, allowing him to have some more rushing capabilities, some more free times. He doesn't have to think as much. I think early in the season, Dante got bogged down with calling everything. He wasn't able to react and play like the Dante Hightower of last year before the injury. I think Alabama's offense looked good. We saw Eddie Lacy pretty good dose of him. He's looking like he'll be a good back if Ingram leaves this year. We got to see a huge display of the Alabama running back stable. Looks like they've got some good running backs there to replace Ingram and Richardson down the line. I mean, what else can you say? It was a glorified scrimmage. Right. They had three miscues, two missed field goals, and a kickoff return for a touchdown. Other than that, they were pretty consistent. I believe they only had to punt once the entire game, and they had twice where they went for it on fourth when they could have thrown the ball for a first but decided just to run it. I'd say Alabama.
Were you surprised that there were no boos of Bill Curry?
There were. When Bill Curry challenged the Marquise Mays fumble, everybody in my section was booing him pretty heavily. And my wife said she was able to hear it on TV. So, I would have thrown a brick at him to make him feel right at home, but that's a whole nother story. Let's get to the real two fun games of the weekend, LSU Ole Miss and Mississippi State Arkansas. Which one do you want to do first?
No, they were both great, and let's start you said Ole Miss and LSU first. We'll start with them. Les, does it ever run out?
I really want to see Les Miles and Houston Nutt's team play a best of seven. Just the craziness between those two coaches.
There was no clock mismanagement this year.
There wasn't.
Give him an A for clock management.
But, man, that was a fun game to watch. I wasn't emotionally invested at all, so I could just be a fan and watch it. And watching the Twitterverse explode, just everybody going nuts about the insanity we were about to see with the final 2 minutes of Nutt versus Les. And
LSU's defense, giving up 36 points.
LSU's defense looked very vulnerable there. A lot of people are saying the Boise TCU would be able to beat LSU. I don't know. LSU just has that ability to rise to the occasion. They only had one game this year when they were not able to, and that's against right now the best team in the SEC. So I say
it was against Cam Newton.
It was against Cam Newton, who is an unstoppable force, and according to the Wall Street Journal, no one will beat them this year. So going back to that LSU performance, we're finally starting to see Jordan Jeffries come into his own and become a decent quarterback. He still has a ways to go, but he's actually able to throw the ball somewhat decently, which is more making him a dual threat quarterback, mm-hmm. something he severely lacked at the beginning of the season.
He's improved greatly. It's too bad he won't be there very much longer. But Houston Nutt's team, I mean, what a disappointment they've been this year.
And his blow-up,
yeah,
his press conference blow-up, talking about it's the first time in 50 years we went to back-to-back New Year's Day games, and he just went on his little rant. And you know he's got something in him just to upset Mississippi State. You know
I would
he's
not
got
be surprised. Would not be surprised in the least. Egg Bowl didn't wind up back in. But, you know, I tweeted earlier today, and I was just sitting there thinking about it. Mississippi State owns that state now. Think about it. The prestige they've gained, Mullen comes in there pretty much locked down the state recruiting-wise. Does Ole Miss exist?
Right now they do not.
Yeah.
So Houston Nutt really needs this game.
He does. He does in a bad way. All right, well, let's go to the other one that was late Saturday night was incredible.
Dan Mullen put on a clinic on how to operate the clock.
We knew this was going to be a good game, but, man, I didn't know it was going to be this good.
Well, the line was only Arkansas by 3.5. So when you see a line that low and you only get 3 points at home, that's basically a pick 'em game for state. I really just like the way Mullen managed the clock there at the end of the second half. He was able to get – he had no timeouts yet, was able to get his field goal team – run a play, get his field goal team on there, and get the kickoff before time expired. Les Miles couldn't do that. You give him 100 tries. So Mullen did really well, and then unfortunately their offense just sputtered in overtime. Was a fumble in their first series, and then Arkansas missed a kick. Arkansas got the touchdown, and then the sack on fourth down of Ralph.
Yeah.
So it was a good game. It was very fun to watch, and we definitely get to see Arkansas have a lot of fun with LSU next week.
It's going to be a good game.
This Saturday. Yep. It's going to be a game for the ages in Little Rock. So I'd say if you have nothing to do, 2:30 Saturday afternoon, watch.
Well, think about this, Sears. The SEC is so lopsided this year. Alabama, Auburn, number 2 versus number 11, and then LSU 5, Arkansas.
I want to say they're 13.
So you have basically a playoff. Shouldn't the two winners of these two games play each other for the SEC championship and just forget the East?
I don't know. The East, we have several interesting SEC East versus ACC matchups.
Definitely.
To watch with a struggling Florida team heading into Tallahassee. Urban Meyer putting the perfection streak against Florida State on the line. You've got Georgia, Georgia Tech, which is a pillow fight. Georgia Tech, I mean, Georgia needs the win to become bowl eligible.
Well, for a lot more reasons than that, and Mark Richt needs
it. And Mark Richt needs it. And then you also have South Carolina, who's only a 3.5 point favorite at Clemson. But Clemson's a very difficult place to play. Crazy things happened there. I believe 2 years ago, Clemson routed the Carolina.
That's right. You're right.
Gamecocks, and it was just embarrassment for Steve Spurrier. So you've got a lot of fun things to go on football-wise in the SEC East.
It'll be a test for the SEC. Three matchups, or four actually, because Vanderbilt plays Wake Forest.
That's so correct.
Yeah,
but Vanderbilt's horrendous. Vanderbilt, man, they don't care about the athletics.
They've shown up a couple times this year,
but they've been slaughtered more often than not.
True. Speaking of Vanderbilt, Tennessee played Vanderbilt 24-10. Tennessee was able to get the victory, but it really wasn't a two-touchdown game. They just got a garbage touchdown at the end on a run from their tailback pool. But Tennessee struggled with Vanderbilt but was able to get the win. Some thoughts on that game?
Tennessee's starting to put everything together with their young team. I think it took them 11 games to finally figure it out, and now – they've essentially got a playoff game for them because if they don't win, they're not going bowling.
Right.
So Derek Dooley needs to win because they need the extra practices. But if you're Kentucky, you look at this team and you say, we haven't beaten them in, what, 28 years?
Something like that.
This is probably going to be our best shot before Dooley gets them reloaded.
No doubt, yeah.
So we need to beat them.
They almost had them last year. They almost had them 2 years ago. But neither time.
2 years, 2007, they took him to overtime.
Double overtime or something like that.
And so that was with one of their best Kentucky teams ever.
Right.
And they still couldn't beat them. And Tennessee ended up winning the East and losing to LSU.
Losing an eventual national champion to LSU.
I mean, if you're Kentucky, you're looking at this game and you're saying, you know, we have to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to go in there and
it's a big game for Joker Phillips. I was about to say Rich Brooks. It's a big game for Joker Phillips because you're right. This is their chance to beat Tennessee.
And if Tennessee comes out with a win, which I think there's a strong probability of that coming out because the way the offense is finally clicking, I think that it'll be Derek Dooley's best coaching job of the season. And I think that Derek Dooley, I know. He won't get it, but I'd say if he goes 6-6 with that Tennessee team, that's strong coach of the year candidate for me. I know Chizik's probably got it
Mullen
wrapped up.
Mullen and Chizik have arguments, but Chizik is going to be the coach of the year, barring a two straight beatdowns by South Carolina.
I think even
and
with two beatdowns, he would
think so. Well, let's jump ahead because there's really not much more we can say about those games. Let's jump ahead. I know we usually preview on Wednesday, but this is rivalry week, so we could go ahead and start talking about it, and you know what it is that I'm talking about, the Iron Bowl between number 2 Auburn and number 11 Alabama. Alabama, of course, comes into the game 9-2, Auburn undefeated 11-0, almost a reversal of last year's game, except for Auburn had two more losses than Alabama. But, you know, just the banter back and forth has already started here locally. Give me an overall sense about this game so far.
I think this game is going to be the biggest test for Cam Newton. He has a ton on his plate off the field, and apparently the Bama defense has been circulating tapes on how to properly tackle Cam Newton. So this reminds me a lot about the way to properly tackle Tim Tebow, the Tebow defense where you rush parallel to him, but you do not go beyond him to give him the rushing lanes. So I think Bama's defense is probably going to give him the best look and most difficult time, I think even more so than LSU. I think Cam is going to have to really sell his fakes and make them come after him. I think look for Dyer and McCaleb to have big games to carry the Auburn offense. Because if Auburn's offense goes 3-and-out or only has like a 7-play drive, that defense will get worn out because Bama likes to do long, grinded-out ball drives.
No doubt.
And it's interesting because Saban has hinted that he thinks his offense performs best when they're in the hurry-up. So we could have dueling hurry-up offenses.
This might be one of those Big 12-type games. They just the offense just
stays on the field.
Yeah.
Auburn needs it to get into the 30s to have a good chance. Bama needs to keep it in the teens and 20s to have a good chance. Alabama has given up 3 touchdowns all year at home.
Mm-hmm.
Only 3.
Malzahn, I'm sure, has been saving some wrinkles for this game, but I'm sure Jim McElwain will too. I mean, you talk about that Wildcat. They have been – they've really not used the Wildcat in a trickery format.
I mean,
You're not going to have Ingram after this year, so you might as well.
Well, you know, the whole CBA, and if it's not worked out by the time juniors declare, well, I would say stay in school. And Al, I didn't get a chance to ask
Al
this,
but
I talked to Al earlier, and he thinks that would be a smart idea for the juniors.
Really?
Yes. Because he said he
I
probably –
I think a lot of Alabama fans would agree with you.
A lot of Alabama fans are hoping for that. But he doesn't think the CBA will be worked out until May or June, maybe even July, right before camp start.
A lot is going to come of this Cam Newton situation. Well, you want to keep an eye on that, but that – if Cam is cleared, as all the Auburn people think that he will be, that may impact his chances of going pro too.
And there's a feeling that Cam's going pro regardless,
yeah,
due to the allegations, sure, that have been made against him.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't put money on that. By the way, Auburn fans, I don't think Cam's gonna stick around.
But
he's gonna bolt. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Not much new on the Cam front.
It's been
this
surprisingly
weekend.
Quiet, which,
yeah,
which
hopefully we'll
I've
have
heard,
something for
I've
you
heard
on
the
Wednesday.
Calm before the storm referenced so many different times this weekend.
How many people out there think that he might not play? I'd like to know how many really think that there's a chance that he might not play.
I wonder. According to Danny Sheridan, if Cam were to be declared ineligible for the game, the line would come off the board and probably not appear till Thursday night, Friday morning.
Do I think he's going to play? Well, first of all, I would guess right now absolutely he would play, but I think anything's on the table. I think you just need to stay tuned. We'll see what happens with this later on in the week.
My personal feeling is if Alabama beats Auburn, stuff will come out. If Alabama doesn't beat Auburn, it'll stay in-house until after Auburn is either eliminated from the national title contention or after they play in the national title game. That's just my take. I really feel that Auburn is all in on Cam Newton. If they lose and have to forfeit anything, they've played him 11 games so far, so they're not going to say, you know what, he may be ineligible, we'll just sit him for this game, which is the biggest Iron Bowl since 94.
We'll see. Lots more to come on that, and of course the Iron Bowl preview show, it's our special edition. On Wednesday, Sears and I will be here. We'll have it up for you Wednesday night, so you can listen to us while you can replay it and listen to us while you're eating your turkey on Thanksgiving. We'll have our predictions of the Iron Bowl and all the other rivalry games this weekend. But everyone, have a good couple days. The holiday weekend is fast approaching.